Tonight I have two purposes. Tonight I want to encourage you, and tonight I want to point you to Jesus. Because that's what we're here to do tonight, is remembrance of Him. And then I'll let the Holy Spirit do the rest of the work in terms of that. Let's pray. Father, thank You that we can gather in Your name. We acknowledge Your Lordship. We thank You for Your sustaining grace. And Lord, we are very grateful for this Memorial Day weekend to remember Your sacrifice for us, even as we remember others that have given their life, and as I mentioned, body parts, mental anguish, widows, and all children without fathers and mothers. Lord, we thank You for the demonstration that You lay down Your life for us. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to these words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These words are very familiar to you. Probably almost every funeral that you've been to, you've heard those words. Or you've seen them printed on the little flyer that you get as you go to that funeral. And the author of that psalm is David. So tonight we want to talk about a good shepherd. We want to talk about a bad shepherd. We can talk about the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. So turn, if you will, to Psalm 78. We're going to look at the good shepherd, a good shepherd first. Sometimes I'm going to be reading from the NSV, ESV. Sometimes I'm going to be reading from the Amplified. This is from the Amplified. It says, "And he also chose David his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, and from tending the ewes with nursing young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So David shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them with skillful hands." Well, what do we see from this passage? We see, first of all, that God chose David. We remember that when Jesse brought all his sons to want them to be anointed, he didn't even think about David. He was an afterthought. And yet God chose him. He was ruddy, he was handsome in appearance, and he was a shepherd. And God elevated him. He said, "I'm going to put you to shepherd my people Israel," as he says here. "I'm going to elevate you from your humble position to the highest position that you can have, to be king over Israel." And he blessed him. Not only did he make him king, but he said, "I will make your name in the lineage of my son. Your name will carry on from generation to generation." When they think of Jesus, they will think of David, the son of David. And so you have this wonderful promise and this passage about David being chosen and elevated and being brought into the limelight. But how did David shepherd? You get a picture here in verse 72. It says he shepherded according to the integrity of his heart, and he shepherded them with skillful hands. Now, what does integrity of heart mean? Well, I would think it means that he truly wanted to please God. He truly wanted to serve God. He wanted to obey God. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And he constantly had that in mind. Listen to some of the verses that kind of give some idea about David's life and his integrity of heart. 1 Kings 9:4, it says, "As for you, if you walk before me as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and in uprightness, acting in accordance with everything that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my precepts." 1 Kings 15:5, it says, "Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." That's a big exception. A big exception. But God called him a man after his own heart before and after that heinous sin and all the sins that went with it. When God is addressing Solomon again in 1 Kings 3, he says, "Then Solomon said," or Solomon says, "You have shown," talking about his own father, "you have shown your servant David, my father, great loving kindness, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and with uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great loving kindness in that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is today." And then he asked for wisdom because of what his father had done. And remember, Solomon was born of who? Bathsheba. Complete forgiveness in the lineage of Christ. Harry quotes this quite often in Acts 13, verse 22. He says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up David," removed Saul, "he raised up David to be their king. Of him he testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, conforming to my will and purpose, who will do all my will.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was buried among his fathers and experienced decay," experienced the grave. And then one other verse about David, or a couple other verses, in Ezekiel 34, it says, "As a shepherd cares for the sheep, on the day that he is among his scattered flock, so I will care for my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. Then I will appoint over them one shepherd, and he will feed them like my servant David. He will feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." So this idea of an integrity of heart, you get these from these verses a little bit about what David was like. But what, how can we put this in our own kind of vernacular? What does it mean? And I'm going to offer a word. It's not a complete word, but I'm going to offer a word that may help us understand better this integrity of heart or this uprightness of heart. And I'm going to use the word vulnerability. Vulnerability. That you're vulnerable before God and you're vulnerable before men. I bet like me, well, we see more about David in the Psalms. We see he shares his dreams. What was one of his dreams? He wanted to build a temple for God. God said no. He didn't fulfill that dream. He gave him a better dream. His heritage, his legacy. You see, David shared his hurts. You see David grateful for what God has done for him. You see David admitting his sin sometimes after confronted. You see all these qualities of David, that he was vulnerable, that God included in his word so that we can identify with how David felt. David was constantly in touch with God. He entreated God about whether to go to battle and how to go to battle. He entreated God on how to deal with Saul when he was hunted. And he said, "I'm not going to raise my hand against God's anointed." We see him, he constantly sought the Lord. When, if you're like me, I'm guessing that everybody that heard Harry's sermon a week ago, you probably told someone this week about that sermon. Why was that sermon so amazing? Was it because Harry shared the Word? He always shares the Word. Was it because he was a little bit emotional, whatever? I think the reason that it touched all of us is because we saw our pastor vulnerable in his hard times. He mentioned it again this morning, the hard providence of God. And we can identify with that. We can identify that we have had hard times understanding God's will. And so all of us were touched because of how Harry was vulnerable to us. Reverend Barker sitting right here on the other side of the coin. I can remember more than one occasion when Frank shared the story. If you've been here for a while, we had a 24-hour prayer chain almost always before the missions conference, right? And sometimes for special occasions. Well, Barbara and Frank would always take the ungodly hours of 2, 3, or 4 in the morning. And one night, Frank prayed. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to call the next person on the list to wake them up to say it's time to pray. Well, Frank, as he tells the story, he went to the directory to get the person he was supposed to call. He found it in the directory. He called and he said, it's 3 a.m. in the morning, time to pray. And as soon as he said that, he realized he had called the wrong person. And so what did Frank do? Immediately he hung up. Later he went to him and said, you know, that was me. I wasn't supposed to call you, I was supposed to call somebody else. But he also said, I wonder what that person was thinking. What did God have in store for me to call me at 3 in the morning to say I need to get up and pray? Why do we identify with that? Because Frank was vulnerable with us. Because we've all been in those situations where we've made a mistake, where we've been vulnerable and shared that with others. If you've lived a life at least past 5, you've been wounded or you've wounded others. And so, as we think about being vulnerable, we have to receive forgiveness. And we need to ask forgiveness because we've all been wounded and we've all wounded others. When I took my oldest daughter to the J.H. Ranch for a father-daughter retreat, and Ann said, you need to go on this thing. And I thought, I got to travel 3,000 miles to California to spend a week with my daughter. That doesn't sound that great to me. But I did it, and it was one of our most wonderful times. But some of the guys that had been on the father-son had kind of prepped us and said, you know, they may ask Jenny to share with you how you wounded her. So you need to kind of be ready for that. So I'm thinking, you know, we have this alone time. What's she going to say to me? And what they did was, there was some times where we were able to share that, but what they did was, they turned the tables on us and they said, ask your father to share times that he's been wounded. And I wasn't ready for that. Because some of you know the story, when I left Virginia Tech and later transferred to Georgia, my father thought I made a big mistake. My father was kind of living his dream through me in terms of football. We both played football, but he broke his arm at 13, never got to play. And so his son came along and I played, and played okay. But when I left Virginia Tech, he didn't think that was a wise decision. Now, he didn't know what was going on up there. He didn't know that Coach was breaking NCAA rules. My teammates were not happy. And anyway, for 4 months, there was a very noticeable distance between my dad and I. He hardly spoke to me for 4 months. And later he came back and said, I think you made the right decision. But obviously that came to my mind when I'm sharing with Jenny where I'd been wounded. And so as we think about shepherding people, I think if we want to be a good shepherd with integrity of heart, with uprightness of heart, I think we just got to be authentic and vulnerable and truthful. How many leaders think that they've got to be at the top in everything when it's been my experience the greatest leaders are willing to admit their failures and willing to ask forgiveness and willing to bring people along with them? That's part of what integrity of heart is. And then there's this idea of with skillful hands. You think about David, he had many things going for him. He was handsome. He was a writer. He was a musician. He was a warrior. He was a great leader. He was so many things that we would hope to do. He was also spontaneous. He was impetuous. He certainly had some lustful thoughts. Very gregarious. He brought people along with him. People adored him. When he was cast out, he had a lot of outcasts with him. That 300 when Saul cast him out. But then when Absalom did, he had faithful friends. He had people that he'd even go risk their lives to get water for him. But David also made some big mistakes. He said, I'm king, I can do whatever I want to. If I want to number these people, I'll find out how many people I got. God disciplined because of that. God sent Nathan to talk to him after his grievous sin. David sometimes wasn't a great father in many respects. But he used the skills that God had given him to shepherd his people. And all of us have gifts. We shepherd in different ways if we want to be a good shepherd. Some are very handy with their hands and can help people repair things or whatever. That is not me. Not unless you want to redo it. Some of you are very helpful in just arriving on the scene and getting there quickly. All of us have different gifts and skills that God has given us, but we can all leave a message or make a phone call, or those that text can text or whatever. We can all do that. We can all let people know that we care in some way. And God will use that. A mutual friend of many people here, he said, in our family, we have this saying, you can fake caring, but you can't fake showing up. And so just showing up. All of us in the ministry would say, well, what do you say to somebody? I don't know. Every situation is different. Every situation you go in there, you're praying that God would give you the words or the words to be quiet, you know, enough sense to be quiet. Elizabeth Elliot, after her husband, I was able to meet with her after Ann's father was murdered, and she talked about Jim. And she said, people gave me all these verses, but I wasn't ready to hear them. But later, God used them in my life. She said, what I learned was acceptance brings peace. Acceptance brings peace. David was a good shepherd. He cared for people. You know, I could go on and on about Jonathan, his relationship with Jonathan, the Mephibosheth that he let eat at his table, the only relative left of Jonathan he brought in. He was an amazing shepherd. But then you have a bad shepherd. In Jeremiah 23, you have these verses. It says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastures, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away. You have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to the fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor shall they be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord." And so you have these bad shepherds that just didn't do what they were supposed to do. In fact, they drove people away. They didn't share the truth. And you find all throughout Jeremiah, he's telling them, tell them the truth. They are going to go under captivity. God is going to discipline Judah. They are going to go into captivity. And these priests and these prophets kept saying, no, Jeremiah doesn't know what he's talking about. We're God's people. We're going to be fine. Don't listen to Jeremiah. Three chapters later, they're trying to put Jeremiah to death. A bad shepherd does not tell the truth. I'm sure you've heard Harry say, and others said, you know, well, this person died because God needed him up there. Well, does an all-sufficient Almighty God need me up in heaven? No, he doesn't. He just chose for my life to be over. And it's what we think are comforting words sometimes is not, because we are trying to cover up for God being God. Sometimes there's no explanation. I remember John MacArthur standing in this pulpit talking about the Word of God, and he says, you know, we try to defend the Word of God. It can defend itself. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah, we want to have some tools to let people know, but it is the Word of God. And it will penetrate. It will endure. It will do what it needs to do. And so as good shepherds, we just need to care for people. We just need to show people that we care. People will know if we care. I attended the fellows' TED Talks, and one of the guys was talking about just the idea of a guy that was in his 40s who had had problems in his life, drugs. He had been arrested and gone to prison, and he was working in a, you know, just as a waiter. Not to say that that's not a good occupation, but he said, you know, normally in your 40s, you don't see people waiting tables at a high-established restaurant. And he said, but you've been here a long time. Why are you still here? And he said, my boss has taken an interest in me, and he cares for me, and I feel secure here. And so he's making a life, making a living, because this boss showed a little bit of grace in this guy's life. Well, if you read on from Jeremiah 23, it goes into just a little bit more of what the good shepherd is, because he says in verse 5, he said, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll raise up for David a righteous branch, which is the Lord, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in the days of Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Which brings us to Jesus, John 10, which where Jesus himself declares, I am the good shepherd. He declares it more than once. He declares it early in that chapter when he says, I'm the good shepherd. But the passage that we're looking at is in 11 through 16. This is the fourth of the I am statements that Jesus makes. And he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And there will be one shepherd, one flock, one shepherd. You know, as I thought about bringing us to Jesus, and I need to wrap this up, what do you say about Jesus as the good shepherd? David was a good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus, it says in Hebrews 13, he is the chief shepherd. And he also in 1 Peter 5, he's the chief shepherd. And he says he's the great shepherd in Hebrews 13. He is the epitome of everything we need. What David talked about in Psalms 23. Think about three times he says in this passage, I will lay down my life for the sheep. We're celebrating Memorial Day, where people have laid down their life for us. Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I do it voluntarily. God initiated it. Jesus fulfilled it. The Holy Spirit keeps bringing it to fruition in our life. Think about what we mentioned about David. Did he have integrity of heart? Did Jesus have integrity of heart? There was no guile found in his heart in Isaiah 53. He says he was a high priest that was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He said to the people that were, he said, he who can find sin, point it out. He said, if you don't believe the words that they believe, the works themselves. He constantly says, you know, who of you accuses me of sin? The children responded to Jesus. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. He told John, the blind walk and the lame walk and the blind see. The dead are raised. Jesus, there was no unrighteousness, as it says in Jeremiah. He was the righteous one, the son of righteousness. How about skillful hands? How did Jesus work with different people? He dealt with Martha different than he dealt with Mary. He reached out to a Samaritan woman that they weren't even going through. He elevated women. He was the same with Nicodemus. He loved him just as much as he loved Zacchaeus. He was accused of eating dinner because he did with tax collectors and sinners. He accepted people that washed his feet and his with their tears and ointment on the head. He dealt with a woman caught in adultery and said, he who's without sin, let him cast the first stone. Jesus was skillful. He taught as one with authority, but he had compassion. And did he care for people? At Lazarus' tomb, he wept because of the sadness of Mary and Martha, because of the sadness of death, because sin had entered the world. He reached out his hand to leopards. He dealt kindly and justly with, as I said, the woman caught in adultery. He prayed for Peter and all the disciples that denied him and left him. He constantly cared for people. And he promises that not one of his promises will not be fulfilled. That we are secure. Later on this chapter he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. The bad shepherd scatters. The bad shepherd, there's dismay, there's fear, there's all this uncertainty. With the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, there's no uncertainty at all. There's hope. Are we following that shepherd? I would say because you're here tonight, you desire to follow that shepherd. Are we listening to hear God's will? Are we trying to find out what God wants us to do? Because if we're listening, God will speak, and then we'll have to obey. But this is a shepherd that is constantly for our good, constantly making us like himself. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many, that's us, to be accounted righteousness, and he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus was willing to be rejected by the Father on the cross so that we would be accepted by the Father because of his atonement. And that's where we come here tonight, to his table, to remember the Good Shepherd and what he's done for us. Let me pray. Father, we are humbled and grateful for your faithfulness to us, for your love for us, for your grace and mercy, but also, Lord, your righteousness and your holiness and your justice. Lord, we cry out to you that you would continue to use us to draw people to yourself, and that, Lord, your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven.